From one end of Texas to the next and all points in between, no matter where you are, you're on Texas Standard Time, and we're so grateful you're spending a bit of your Wednesday, June 29th with us. It's been a nasty news cycle, right now dominated by images from Ataturk International Airport in Istanbul, an iconic target for a terrorist attack of this sort, a modern cosmopolitan hub connecting the West to the Middle East. Turkey's worked hard to cultivate an image as a haven in a dangerous region. So even though 41 people were killed and more than 200 injured in yesterday's suicide attacks, the airport has actually reopened, almost as if to make a statement itself. One of the most powerful images has been constantly replayed on the news. It's the image of an attacker apparently shot by security forces who falls to the ground, his gun spinning across the floor out of his reach, and then the attacker appears to reach for his vest. At that point, security video captures a bright flash of red and white, and people then flee in all directions from the apparent explosion. The pictures themselves, not so visually graphic as they are psychologically so. And as adults in this age of terrorism, we've almost become inured to these sorts of scenes. Our kids, of course, not so much. We try to protect them from these things. My son did not see the images on TV, but he'd heard the news, an attack on an airport. And his questions were, why? To quote him verbatim, why would someone be so stupid to kill themselves to kill others? His questions seemed less grounded in emotion than in understanding what was going on, the motivations. He's a fifth grader, curious about how the world works. But as a parent, how does one answer the questions why without oversimplifying or worse? Jennifer Keyes Adair is an assistant professor in the College of Education at the University of Texas at Austin. She's written about these issues. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
How do we begin to explain the motivations of a group like the so-called Islamic State, which hasn't yet claimed responsibility for this, we should underscore, but they come into play here in conversations like this. How do we begin to talk about that without oversimplifying?
I think the best thing to do for young children especially is to focus on the fear and the kind of the hate that people have when they are willing to do these kinds of things. Usually what I say is that the people that go do these kinds of things are filled with hate about difference. They don't want people to be different. They want everybody to be the same, and it makes them angry and scared to have people be really different from them. When you talk about differences with young children, you also have to reassure them that we're not like that. In our family, we don't think about difference that way. We appreciate difference. We want to get to know lots of people. You know, it'd be boring if everyone was the same, and help reassure them that the hate and the fear that people are experiencing enough to go into these situations is so far removed from how we're living our own lives.
My son can decode that. He is old enough now to where he can tell when dad's trying to give him a kind of a morality lesson. and in fact, when he is using words like ISIS, because he's picked it up at school, you know, when kids are at that maturity level, should we get into the history of some of these organizations? I mean, in a sense, that would, it would almost seem to, what I like about that concept is that it takes away some of the fear and gives it a kind of a definition that they can sink their teeth into, in a sense, right?
I think for kids, I think you can do that. You can find kind of safe and reputable websites to look at with them. You can learn about things together. I think like having conversation is what is really important. When you don't know about something, the best thing to do with a kid is to learn it about it together. That makes it authentic, sophisticated, and not kind of condescending to them, but you're in this, you want to learn about these things together.
Something that's sort of concerning to me, Professor, is this idea that what my son knows about some of these attacks come from his friends and what their parents have told these kids. And, you know, the old game of telephone, right? Where all of a sudden, last night my son was talking about racism, and but it wasn't clear at all. I don't think he understood what he was really saying, but he had heard that word in the context of terrorism.
This happens all the time. And I think what I'm trying to avoid when I talk to my own children is naming specific groups, like religious groups or racial groups or areas of the country, and more focus on the commonality of their fear of difference. Because I don't want my kids walking around profiling. I don't want them walking around thinking, well, this group does this and this group does that. Because in reality, they in their lives know lots and lots of people who share some commonalities with people doing these kinds of things, whether it's white people or whatever, that they walk around with these commonalities, but they're not doing it. You know, my kids have friends who really have the similar values around difference and equality that we do, but they also have friends who sometimes will say things about a certain region of the world. They'll say like, oh, they came from
X or Y or
Pakistan.
Z. Right.
So yeah, mm-hmm. So they must be, you know, so you have to be careful, or why do Muslim people do this? Mm-hmm. And so I have to remind them of all of their friends and the people they know and celebrities who are Muslim. So I tell them it's not fair to really use that as the main characteristic. It's not right. You wouldn't do that about white people.
Right.
You wouldn't say like, oh, so now all white people walking around are going to do something in Oklahoma City. Like, you just don't, we don't talk like that. So it's not really fair to talk like that about other people.
Jennifer Keyes Adair, assistant professor in the College of Education at UT Austin. Thanks again.
No problem. Thanks for having me.